bing me. You bing me, I'll slap a hoe.
Emails.podbean.com.
It's Google, motherfucker.
Welcome to the call to Ian, you cop-sucking motherfucking dog shit ass cunt bitch.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Welcome to Chicago Open Mic. I'm your host, Ian Ellis. So this last Friday, I had the roast of Jack Baker, and it popped up on my Facebook that exactly 1 year before that, I'd had my own roast, and Jack Baker was on it. So I thought, rather than just posting my jokes from Jack's, maybe I post my jokes from both, and that's kind of like a good retrospect to see how my style has changed over the last year. And to just talk about roast jokes in general, I used to really love roast. It's part of like why I got into comedy. Like, I really love Greg Giraldo. Patrice, of course, was legendary. Now I think like my favorite last roast that I saw was Hannibal Buress. I think he shut it down. When I started out in comedy, I was working for comic strips, or I was doing comic strips for a newspaper, and in comic strips you have very limited space, economy of words. Like, you got like 3 sentences to get your point out. So I came into it with that sense of like less is more, and then the comics that were really like popping and everybody was kind of emulating at the time were Demetri Martin and Mitch Hedberg. So it was a natural fit for me to start out doing one-liners, and I was pretty good at it. But eventually I got really tired of it, because one-liners can be really formulaic. Like, basically, if you want to write one-liners, if you want to have a dope hour of one-liners, you just take 2 random objects and then just find some funny way to tie them together. So you could be like, toaster. Let's see, there's a cat in the room. You know what I don't like about toasters? They make my bread feel like my cat's tongue. Like, that would work as a one-liner. The downside of that is you have to fucking memorize like 100 fucking one-liners just to get through 5 minutes, which is ridiculous shit. I can't do it. I don't have the memory for it. I can barely remember my shit as it is, and it's my shit. But I got really tired of them because I don't like doing formulaic stuff, and my style has been changing a lot because for a long time I was trying to take these like heavy, weighty intellectual ideas and trying to like break them down to the masses, and I want to save you through comedy. And eventually I was like, I am fucking up. This is a terrible way to do comedy, because people aren't coming out to see George Carlin. They're coming out, you know, at my level to an open mic to have a good time. And am I trying to be too smart and witty and all that stuff was making them have a bad time, and it was me not doing my job as a comedian, because my job is to, you know, make them laugh, to help people have a good time. So over this last year, I've been trying to, you know, put down the ideas and pick up the funny, so to speak. My podcast goes through different themes. Like, there was a media and fame theme. There was an enlightenment theme. There was a racism and police theme. This last season has been like Snoop Dogg, and Snoop Dogg just being like, when I listen to him, it sounds like he's free and just having fun. I'm trying to just loosen up and have fun. That being said, when I went to this roast, Dave Sitko went up before me, and he was like yelling at the audience, a lot of high energy. So I was like, well, let me turn around and do a different energy. So I went up and I was more meek, because also it does weigh down on me that like people get so tired of me being cocky and stuff, and they talk shit and it drives them nuts, and people, you know, I get tired of all the feedback from it. But that cockiness is what I love to listen to. I love cocky rappers. I love cocky comedians. And when I listened back to my set, starting that meekly, like, it made me cringe. I was like, ugh, put some bass in your voice. But it was like, being in the moment, I didn't want to be a terror. But then, as an audience member listening back, I was like, dude, you better sack up, because I ain't come here to hear you be soft. I want to hear you be a gangster. So that's part of my internal conflict with where I'm at right now, is trying to walk a line of being cocky but not being a dick. So I brought up one-liners to say that roast jokes are basically the exact same thing, on like a basic level. If you just take any piece of information about someone, and then any tragedy, and try and find some funny way to put them together. Like an example, Jim Flanagan hosted the show. He did an amazing job. I get really jealous of Jim because he has like such a crisp, clear delivery system, and I don't, because I mumble. And I can't do what he does. It's just not what I do. but I still get jealous of it. I'm like, ah, it sounds so clean and proper and right. And as Jim was introducing people, he had said, Ian Ellis, he's like Mitch Hedberg if he had the timing of 9/11. So you know, there you go. You got Mitch Hedberg because I mumble like an idiot, and then your tragedy is 9/11, and put them together, blah, blah, blah. It was a funny joke. Everybody laughed. I like Jim. I'm not throwing shade. But at this point, I've done 6 roasts and 2 roast battles, and I'm burned out on roasts. Like, I really don't. If it wasn't for Jack, I wouldn't do it anymore. Kurt Metzger always talks about, like, how roasts are supposed to be, you know, between people that, that know and like each other. And I think it's so that it can be more like an intervention. Like, it's a safe place to tell someone, like, hey, you got a weak point here. You should get it together. And, by the way, we're still going to be friends after this. But, you know, the Comedy Central Celebrity Roast changed that up. Especially, like, Greg Giraldo. He was so strong at just, like, trashing everybody. Now everybody kind of emulates Greg's style and just tries to be as mean as fucking humanly possible. A lot of AIDS and 9/11 jokes. But the same thing with, like, one-liners is it just becomes formulaic and I got tired of it. I'm tired of roasts at this point. We'll see if I can get re-energized. So here's my roast jokes from Friday, and then my roast jokes looking back. I did edit up a little bit. I wound up doing 14 minutes when I probably should have done 5. To people going into roasts, I usually say, like, write 5 solid jokes about each person. If you're crunched for time, only do 3. When I was preparing for roast battles, I would write 100 jokes about whoever I was going to roast, and then I would go through and cut out the ones that were weak and then try and punch those up, and then I would go through and try and get like my top 20 like solid jokes, and I wound up never being able to get them off. And I really shot myself in the foot on one battle because I was expecting to go 3 rounds, so I started off a little bit light and I wound up only getting like 2 jokes off, and I was like, this is motherfucking bullshit. I could have bodied this dude, but you know, that was on me. I got too drunk that night and I should have been paying attention, because then I'd have known it was only 1 round. But dude, shout out to Roast Battle, Verbal Violence, the podcast, or Roast Battle, you know, on Comedy Central. But go check out the podcast. Other than that, it was a lot of fun. This was the most well-attended roast I've seen. It was also the best written. A lot of times roasts are really disappointing, because you get on there and nobody's prepared, or people have it in their head that they can just, like, do this on their feet, just like regular stand-up, and 9 out of 10 times you just can't. So Jack, consistently the best roast comic I've seen on anything that I've seen him on. Also just one of my favorite people. Like, I love watching him on stage, but I also really, really love hanging out with him off stage. He's just a cool dude to be around. When you find people like that, like, it's the best. That's what I'm in comedy for, is to find people like that. So I think Jack probably had the best set of the night. Jim Flanagan did great. My shit was a little off and wonky, but, you know, it was solid. I obviously over-prepared. I had jokes about a few people, but I wrote a lot of jokes about those people. And I don't have a printer, so I had to go to the UPS store to print them up. This shit wound up costing me $7 to print some stuff up on some 2-sided paper. Also, here's a tip if you're ever going to be on a roast and you're printing up your jokes. Print it in at least a size 20 font so you can read it. I saw a bunch of people, they printed up a size 12, and then they just had to hold the piece of paper next to their face and try and read it. And when you're up on stage and everybody's staring at you, you know, that time that's taking you to focus up and read the jokes feels like bombing. So, you know, best thing you could ever do is just try and get it down to a bullet point and have it memorized in your head that you could just look down at one word and be able to go from there. But, you know, a lot of times roasts are thrown together very quickly. And you don't have that much time to get that much shit together. But, you know, if you can, you will be a star of the show. I've never pulled it off. Here's the roast jokes. Also, it was edited a little bit, and I said that to say, I don't really know what this podcast is. It's, I call it like the B-side to my comedy. It was like, as people follow me, if they like me, this is what I make the podcast I want to hear, and something that I wish other people had done or were doing. To where it's like, I like comedy so much that if I like someone, I want to hear everything they've done. And I used to just put up my entire sets and just be like, you know, that's the art of it. Like, here, hear this joke bomb now so that, you know, in such and such amount of time, you could hear how it's changed and hear how it's start to come better. And I figured that'd be like an Easter egg for the people that are really down and really following me. But nobody follows me like that. Nobody's that much of an Ian Ellis fan. So some of the feedback I was getting from people was, hey man, you gotta cut out that shit where you bomb. They're like, if I was a stranger and I heard this, I'd be like, this is terrible. So for the sake of marketing, which I hate, but also for the sake of listening back. When I listen back, it's nice to not have my flubs in there. So I just cut shit down to the good shit going out. So here's the roast jokes. Hope you enjoy. Shout out to Jack Baker. Everybody that came out to the roast. Appreciate it. And please like, subscribe, and go check out the Eskimo Brothers Squadcast podcast. I'm an official member, and I think we're coming up on like 15 episodes. It's building a nice little audience of its own, and the show's like funny as hell. So come check it out. All right, man. My name's Ian Ellis. Love you. Good night.
Dave Sicko, ladies and gentlemen, he's never been funnier. You walked the bartender twice during one set. I'd like to remind the rest of our roasters that there are other people on the dais, so get to it. All right. Our second roaster of the evening has had a big year for him. He had a podcast canceled by the Laugh Factory. He had an album that no one's ever heard called I Hope They're Buying This, and the resounding answer was no. You can see him at any open mic in town and probably sleeping in his car. Please welcome to the stage, Ian Ellis.
Yeah!
Last set was really scary. He made me want to pee like 3 times. Of all the comics to remind me of my father, let's hope you end up like him, dying horribly of cancer.
Jeez!
Me too.
Right. Speaking of dads that died of cancer, one of the things that me and Jack and Matt Drufke all have in common is that all our dads are dead. And all of us wish it had been Matt Drufke instead. Hey Jack, it's nice to see you at an event I'm not throwing for myself. I take umbrage with Matt Drufke. He was like, a roast is something we throw for talented people because we like them. No. A roast is something you do once a year to drum up listeners for your podcast. Something you do for yourself, you idiot. Yep. When I get to Matt's jokes, Alec, can you just like stuff a pillow in your shirt? For those of you that don't know me, I'm known as being like a bully and having kind of an ego, but I think it's rightly so. Like, you see the way Jack's sitting right now? I invented that. It's called the grabbing the drink off the floor. It's 2006, bro. See those glasses? He got that from me. I gave him the prescription. I'm also an optometrist. I didn't invent everything. I didn't invent quitting. That was Matt Alfred. Surprised you didn't quit on the way up. Seemed like too many stairs for your fat ass. I wish you had more comedy kids that would follow your example and quit. I get it, I think about quitting all the time, but like, I kind of want it to be the one thing I finished, since it wasn't college being a Christian or my first marriage. Maybe comedy will be the one that works out. I don't know if I smoke too much weed or not enough. The only reason I'm here is to promote my show, Base Camp. It's Sunday at the lodge. We had our first show last month. I think I saw more comedians than Katie Miner's pussy. It was also her pussy was better reviewed. Otter fucking hated my open mic. I think Matt and Alec are starting to look alike. If you can't tell them apart. Alec looks like a car dealer, and Matt looks like a used car dealer. Also, Alec has a cute girlfriend, and Matt has crippling depression. Thanks. Alec and Katie are a weird couple. One looks like she sucked a lot of dick to get spots, and the other is Katie Minor. Katie dated Alec and Otter? Otter? Was wet paint unavailable? Did they stop letting you send letters to inmates? Have you seen every episode of Friends? It's on Netflix. Take that time to get in touch with your inner Phoebe. I'll tell you why I don't like Katie. She's too pleasing to men. Dresses like a hussy. All of her materials like, my loose pussy, come on me, come on me, come on me. I don't think that's what self-respect looks like. I like to just end awkwardly. I do love Katie though. She's the only comic I know that has more new material than me, and she's a way better performer, so I fucking love you, Katie.
Thanks.
She once asked me, where does my undeserved ego come from? Katie, my podcast has over 23 listeners. This Sunday, I'm hosting a show at Base Camp. On July 6th, I'll be hosting the Comedy Shrine open mic. For the first time, turns out the only thing holding me back was Jack Baker. Thanks, buddy. Pal of mine. I do have more advice for Katie. I don't know if you've considered being a lesbian, but Alec's sister is way hotter than he is.
It's a good
one. Alex Crockman is here, presumably to sweep up at the end. Maybe to find some part of Jim's ass that Katie and Alec haven't licked off yet. Oh. Alex Crockman. Good old Sideshow needs a job. Simpsons reference for Jack. He likes those. His dad is dead.
Jeez.
So is yours.
Oh, no.
Oh, my God.
I like Alex. Alex, the Western suburb social justice warrior. I love regionally specific jobs. Atlantic Coal, Colorado Mining, Chicago Western Suburb Social Justice Warrior. Alex Crockman. It's a great title. Practically rolls off the tongue.
Not as good as Jim's sweet ass. Yeah. Yeah, I had to do that. Yeah.
I'm afraid.
You're gonna skip from there.
Are you having a stroke?
A little bit. They're not all winners. You know, you write a joke.
We noticed.
Think it's the end. Kristen Toomey. She's not here. I really like Kristen Toomey. I couldn't think of like a bad thing to say about her. April Caprellian doesn't feel the same way. She said she'd beat the dog shit out of her the next time she sees her. I told April it's not a good idea. Toomey's the only thing under 5'7 that I'm scared of. Toomey accidentally went off on Dave Sinker. She went off on him like she still gets a period. She doesn't. She's very old. She's not spotting. That's other people's blood in her vagina. Her vagina has more teeth than me. I know she looks cute, but that's just like CGI and prosthetics. She's actually a Toomeynator. Sent from a dystopian future where empowered women practice their jokes in the bathroom while holding a comb. She looks like she hasn't bled in a while.
No, we got it, man. Even the band next door.
Matt Jarofsky. There are a lot of superhero movies coming out and a lot of fast food merchandise to go with it this summer. Which thing do you think you're going to milk for the entire summer this year? Maybe a McDonald's, bacon lettuce, and I don't remember what my son's smile looks like.
Jeez.
I didn't get 5 minutes out of that, considering how much he loves bacon. I hate how long he does jokes. I was going to tell him, like, expiration dates exist for a reason.
We get the feeling.
If the milk's spoiled, don't drink it. Jack's lactose intolerant, he understands it. Colleen!
Oh, jeez.
I don't know who you are. Raise your hand. I really thought you were a comic. Colleen Smith, I don't know you, so blah, 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 your pussy stinks. Blah, blah, you're a hack. Blah, blah, people are disappointed in you, and you should kill yourself.
Oh, wow.
Congratulations on the marriage.
Yay.
Jim Flanagan. Jim, would you gain or lose 10 pounds? You look like a sweaty Mexican pizza. My wife helped me write that joke.
Really good.
So does he look more like a sweaty Mexican boy or a sweaty Mexican teenager? And she said pizza.
Solid.
I know you can picture it because Sitko's getting hungry back there. Jim Flanagan, he's a human, I guess. He used to talk a lot of shit behind my back, and now he's kind of nice to me. I don't know what it is, but I assume it rhymes with space camp. How does it feel to know Rashad Clark just bodied you? Rashad Clark's been a comedian for 8 minutes and he already has more albums than you. Yep. For those of you who don't know, he's a very slow writer. He's got a joke about going to Mexico. He's been working on it longer than he was in Mexico. It's not funny. It's not going to work. Just let it go like all those kids you killed. I like Jim. I call him Affable Jim. That's how I describe him to people. To strangers, I tell your mom. I tell your mother. You did a great job raising an affable son. And then she'd probably run terrified. Because I like to give those messages in the middle of the night. Well, while holding a chainsaw, I'm wearing a hockey mask. Yeah. It was funny in my head. It's funny when I wrote it. Affable. I'm just going to do that as a callback. Tomy's got a record, Jack's got a record, Matt Drucky doesn't know how to keep his dick in his pants. Just a bunch of criminals up here. An old affable Jim. It's gonna be real funny when I did that. Guys ruined it. Matt Elfrin, I hate to speak ill of dead careers. Who dug you up? Tell him to give the shovel back. David Sitko is here. I've seen your penis. I think it's safe to say you should be thankful that you have gout, because it's the closest you're ever going to come to being in a relationship. Unless Katie goes through another round of open micers. Or you spend the night at Faison's house. You both like wrestling, but he likes it a little bit more. Might get a two-finger poke in the butt. The man of the hour, Mr. Jack Baker.
Yeah.
An hour, because that's how long he's been on.
It just feels that way.
No, it's been almost an hour.
I'm glad so many people are here, because I didn't know Jack had friends. I've never seen you have a friend. In 6 years, I've never seen you have a single friend.
What's that?
This reminds me of like Tom Cruise and Katie. What did they do to you? I like Jack, but he's really lazy. The only time he really gets motivated is when he suffers, so I love it when there's suffering in Jack's life. Because then we get a hot new 5 minutes, so I'm just rooting for your marriage to fail. Because I can't wait to hear that amazing divorce material.
He'd be dead.
I hope you sing so low that Big Dick Dilbert steals your wife. All right, my name's Ian Ellis.
His name is Ian Ellis.
Ian Ellis,
here. Make some noise for Ian.
Yeah, Ian.
I'd
like to remind the rest of the comedians
in
the show that editing is okay.
I have nothing else to say, so I'm just going to bring up to the stage the guy who was shallow enough to throw himself a roast and then unpopular enough to get all of us to be here, Woo! Mr. Ian Ellis.
Johnny's dad blew his brains out. Surprising, I didn't think anybody in his family could afford a gun. They were poor people. Johnny, he stinks. I wish he was here so I could look him in the eye. Tell me he has to ride home with Patrick and Clayton. You guys don't get to hang out with the rest of us. You just have to sit in the car and think about what you did. That's worse than the time I went over to Patrick Bagden's sister's house and that fat fuck whore cunt made me a kielbasa. Tasted like shit.
Callback.
Brandon Andrews and learning the fundamentals of comedy. As we come along. Try to remember that part of the blackout. I'm known for being an artist. I hope you guys are looking forward to my next piece. A chalked outline around Brandon Andreessen's fat bloated corpse. Do you know there are parts of my liver that still look better than you?
Better for what bloated is like bloated.
It's like your face. Stop drinking. Your whole body looks like seafood allergies. I don't know if you need a diet or an EpiPen. Jack Baker, only comedian I know that's a bottle of ibuprofen away from being a likable guy. In college, Jack tore his hip flexor playing football. The coach said it happened as he tried to stuff his giant vagina into his cheerleading outfit. The biggest difference between Jack and his headaches is that his headaches don't have a DUI. Or a dead father. They also don't tell the same jokes for 3 years and they complain about open micers not being prolific enough. They're more persistent than that. The only thing more persistent than your headaches is your mother's disappointment. He has 3 college degrees and he's at my roast. Jack's so whiny his doctor tried to prescribe him assisted suicide. That actually happened.
Yeah, it's not really a joke. Oh.
I like that you try to pretend that you're not a nerd. You have nerd pheromones. You smell like a book report. You got shoulders that look like they fit in a locker. I assume your glasses came with an inhaler. Jack was talking about the rant I went on. Listen, here's the thing about you and Jordan. Your joke stunk before I started talking about killing myself. I remember that ABC bullshit. I might not be an influence, but you should kill yourself. Johnny boy, Johnny B, little fuck boy. He's not here. Yeah. Is he out back crying?
I feel horrible now.
I think he is.
You shouldn't. Have you seen how the rest of his life is going?
Oh, man.
Dad, his brothers in jail. Harambe had a better life than him.
Johnny, we're talking about you.
Johnny's done more acid than homework. If anybody could teach him how to read, that'd be useful. I'm surprised he's here. I thought he'd be pressing up posters for trivia night. A lot of people think that Johnny's a piece of shit. He's not.
Yeah.
He's not.
Sorry.
You can get shit off of your dick. I got fired from Mojo's and then immediately started working for the Laugh Factory. As consolation prizes go, not having Johnny in my life isn't that bad.
He's not here.
Patrick Fatton. Jesus Christ, you spend more time in the hospital than doctors. I haven't seen your medical bills, but I'm pretty sure a gym membership is cheaper than your use of the ER. You have any idea how expensive it is to get a coffin in your size? You're a cheeseburger away from needing a plus-size crematorium. At some point, we're going to have to use Auschwitz. That's assuming you die smaller than 3 million starving Jews.
Hey, that's pretty good.
I got it.
That is a good one.
Denise wishes that Patrick would open up more. Not as a man, as a comedian. She's tired of carrying his dead weight. Glad you finally found love. I hope the next thing you find is a Jenny Craig. Joe Larkin is here. He said he wasn't going to make it. He had other plans. I assume he was being measured for his coffin. After this, he and I are going to have a race for the bathroom. You get in my way, I'm going to break your hip. Oh God, it's getting like Johnny P in here. Patrick?
That was a shitty
joke. Your next roast is going to be the fit and earn.
Nice!
Mediocre. Patrick O'Hara is here. Have we met? Who the fuck are you?
You invited me.
No, you invited yourself. Which is more pathetic than me throwing myself around the sand. At least I showed up with jokes for fucking nothing. Your joke?
You're gonna have to try with Johnny now.
He tells jokes like he has one ball. By the way, my dad's currently dying of cancer.
Still alive.
I've been around long enough to know when to move on. Clayton C. Johnson, how's Radio Shack? The only place you've been seen in the last 2 years. By the way, the next time I see a picture of you and a hot Asian on Facebook, I need you to tag the location of the shipping container you're buying them from. What the fuck are you meeting women? Okay, green card? Stop ruining foreign exchange students' experience. He's caused more hatred for the U.S. than the Iraq War. Imagine you're an Asian person that comes over here, and you start dating him, and you're like, men in America. Still be better than Patrick O'Hara's act. Steve Zinsky, fat fuck. You ever see him without his beard? His double chin has stretch marks. Don't get too close to him. He smells like urinal cakes. Steve Zinsky is a lot like child support. You don't want it, you know it's going to end up in court. Steve loves to show me pictures of the women he's dating. I've never met any of them in real life. I don't think he's met any of them either. Steve, you're never going to meet a decent woman at the end of another man's penis. By the way, it's amazing you can squeeze that much gay through your fat neck. Steve's so gay his internet connection has AIDS. Faggot's seen more dicks than gay Twitter. I only use the F word for you. Scotty Brennan. Little twerk behind me. He cleans up disasters for a living. It's a shame he can't clean up the disaster he calls a life. You realize Brian Stern has taken more steps to recovery than you? Scott doesn't like it when people talk about his family, because it's usually in court. For the record, where did the incest touch you?
Everywhere.
Scott's been touched by his uncle more times than he's done coke. Like, the only thing Scott starts and stops more than comedy is recovery. Scott has more one-day chips than savings left in the bank. The biggest difference between comedy and recovery is that no one wants you to stay in comedy.
Johnny P.
Josh Schumacher didn't make it. His stepdad also killed himself. Oh, God. A lot of dead dads on this dais.
I got one.
The rest are just disappointed. Yeah. Guys, thank you for coming out. Clap it up. And,